Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Joe DeFalco. Oh man, Joe, we just escaped with a one hell of a solid show, man. That card was pretty good from top to bottom. The guys worked their asses off, and you can't ask for more, can you?
No, I'll tell you, it was going in, you know, early in the week. We have so much going on, and everybody's looking forward to the Mania week with Cross, and we got the HyperX in 3 weeks. It seems like for the second year in a row, No Escape is kind of like the forgotten show, which is kind of crazy, being that No Escape is, you know, we always talk about our big maybe 4 or 5 shows that we do a year. And Usually of late, Survival of the Fittest seems to have, you know, been it is the number 4 out of the 4 shows. You know, the anniversary is always number 1, especially since we haven't been doing that many Meccas. So it's the anniversary is usually number 1 by far. And then probably luck of the draw because of the Rumble. And now this year, obviously, because we had Cross. That's number 2, and No Escape is, you know, a solid 3. And last year, because we did the Bay benefit, everybody bought tickets for that show. And No Escape was way, way light compared. And it looked like this was going to happen again with the HyperX and the Mania excitement everybody's got going on. But I got numbers on Wednesday, and I'm like, oh, okay, a little encouraging. But then by Saturday, those numbers, you know, we did more between Wednesday and Saturday, almost double what we had done the entire time going up to it. So I was like, okay, I haven't even gotten the final numbers. And I'm going to think that from Saturday into showtime, we made it to double those numbers because, you know, we probably put out at least 4 rows. So, you know, you're talking, you know, probably about 90 a side. So we probably set up for 350 at least. And then we put, you know, another 3 rows. And there's always, you know, that 4th row and the 3rd row where there's seats in between that nobody wants to get in front of people to go and to slide in. But, you know, I would have to believe we had close to 500 there at the end of the day. So, you know, to me, that's a big hit. You know, things got off to a slower start. We started a little late. You know, we're like, oh, my God, we're into the second match only, and it's already 6 o'clock. Fuck, I'm going to be here for 4 hours. I'm going to hear the fucking Silverton cry that we have to pay them more money, even though we're paying them way too much money to begin with. And it was like, It's funny. It's like of all the times we've been there, I always bitch one bartender. Now we didn't get 2 bartenders. They had 3 for some weird reason. Okay. Because I saw somebody was like, oh, yeah, the bar's kind of light tonight. Yeah, because they're actually serving the drinks. There's 3 people. People are getting their drinks. And then it was like, oh, okay. I had mentioned before that, hey, we got on their email blast. Instead of just announcing that it was Taco Tuesday, they actually just put our flyer and said wrestling on Sunday. And, you know, now they had the Cumbia Festival on Friday and it said No Escape. So I'm like, hey, okay, we're in that. And then all of a sudden I got the flyer, the circular that comes to my house. And it was like, oh, my God, No Escape. My wife thinks I wanted to keep it because it was such a collectible. For the first time ever, we actually got on the flyer. And I was like, I'm good with not keeping more hoarder stuff in the place. But it was like, wow. And they're like, oh, you know, they know it was the last one. It was like, well, no, they don't know it was the last one. Like, that's the last thing I tell them. Because, again, never say never. But at the pricing that they're charging, it makes no sense. And it was like, we were wondering how much money we're going to lose on this show. And it's like, oh, we're already, you know, in the green. So it's like, all right, thumbs up for that one. You know, we had ideas what we were going to do for the show. And, you know, you're always questioning those ideas and if are they going to work. And, you know, right. A lot of the people that come to this show don't really come to the school show. Do they really know the storylines? But now that I think about it, it's like me. I don't really watch WWE all the time, but I keep up with it. I know what's going on. So I'm going to think our fans are looking at the Facebook and they're looking at the Instagram and they're seeing things. So they might see this promo and they might see stuff. So even if they didn't make the show, they're kind of keeping up with the idea because, you know, it was obvious that there was a lot of fans that were excited to see the Mariachis win the tag titles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was a big moment. And, you know, the main event, you know, Sharp getting laid out early and overcoming. And I'll tell you, that crafty G Sharp, you know, making sure that second rope snapped, even though the entire show happened without it snapping, but it was set to explode the minute Duke got up there.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how things like that work. It's incredible. And again, man, that is a massive human being if you've ever seen one. Duke is just enormous, man.
And I'll tell you, you know, it was like the powers that be that added to the match.
Yep. It's like, you know, that especially too, I think, you know, you had such a big moment with the Mariachis winning, with that buildup. But I was impressed that the you know, the students went out there and held the phones out for Ricky and did the waving of the, you know, the airlines for Mondo and dressed up as mariachis and played mariachi music for the mariachis.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was crazy how good the students were playing mariachi music. You know, they only learned like an hour before the show. So, you know, we have some true prodigies, you know, because most of them, their wrestling career is going to suck and they're never going to go anywhere. So at least now they have a shot for, you know, every time the mariachis come out, they have a gig.
Oh, man. But, you know, just such a big buildup for that. And you can always, you know, kind of fear that the main event then kind of loses a little luster because of the fact that it was such a big moment, such a big buildup, such a big presentation that, you know, it's remarkable again how Greg always, I think he just gets overlooked, man. He always delivers, you know, no matter who he's working with, he is probably one of the best wrestlers in this country who doesn't get the recognition he deserves.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, he's always been that solid hand. And even when we had things that I was unaware of, you know, it was never something that I had the issue with. It was, again, right. It was that my favorite word, perception, you know, and things. But, you know, if you look at the ending of Hyperstreak and the run he has gone on since that loss to Remy Marcel, you know, because, you know, little known secret at that time, we were trying to do some stuff again with Marquez that didn't work out. But the plan was the Nevada State Championship finals in the tournament was going to be at their show. And as usual, things didn't work out. And thankfully, we did it at FSW. And it was during the pandemic time. And I'm pretty sure it was when we had to have, like, you know, a group. And then that we had to have 3 feet apart. Right. And we're probably doing 50 people in the venue. you right. know. But I remember it being hot, and I remember everybody was all excited because at that point, Sharp had gone about 11 years in the business without ever winning a title. And people are like, oh, he never won a title. No, he didn't win a title in FSW. He didn't win a title anywhere.
Yeah.
And this was the big buildup. And they all felt that Joe took that away from him. And maybe Greg felt that way too, because, you know, there was issues after that. Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't at all. And, you know, people talk about long-term storytelling. You know, we got back to that over a year later, and it became a much bigger moment. And it was a much well-deserved moment that people really got behind. So,
yeah. And, you know, and has really changed the trajectory of, you know, him as a performer. You know, it's everything coming together all at once to finally realize, you know, if you're in the ring with Greg, you are doing something special no matter who you are. And, you know, Hammerstone, after his match with Greg, you couldn't get higher praise. You know, Hammerstone had so many good things to say.
He reached out to me beforehand wanting the opportunity to wrestle Greg because he saw, you know, the kid that, you know, they're probably close to the same age. And when Greg started, you know, when I thought he was 22, 23, he was only 19. Yeah. You know what I mean? And because I'm not asking ages and all the other stuff, and it might be part of a conversation. But Hammer was the same way when he couldn't rent a car, and that's why he would have to come up. When at one point I was almost done with using Graves, and it was less like, yeah, he just ain't getting it. And then I had to bring him up because he had to drive Hammerstone. And it was like, okay. And he ended up wrestling Willie Mack. And it was like, oh, okay. Now I see. Yeah. And then, you know, but there's always that click in the head of when it clicks in and when you can get to that next level. Yeah. And, you know, there were times with Brett the Thread and the Suavecitos that you thought that the light switch was never going to turn on. But once it did, then there was no stopping them. And that's when those guys can get to that next level, because that's the key. Anybody could be a solid indie guy, but there's difference between solid indie guys. And then you're talking about indie guys that are a Danny Limelight, a Hammerstone, a Sharp, a Jacob Austin Young, Tito Escondido, Che Cabrera. Those guys were all solid guys. Then all of a sudden it became a point where now all of a sudden New Japan is knocking on the door and they're seeing something. Like, I saw something in them way before, Royce and Jarrell, you know, guys that were low carders put together. And it's amazing that I feel like with me that I see something. And it's amazing that a lot of them that many people wouldn't think, oh, okay, they're going to be put in a great position in FSW are, and it pays off.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and it's amazing to see the growth, you know, in that. You know, we're doing the show in San Diego, which is already now only 9 days away. Your boy Miz is going to be the host.
Nice.
So Ray couldn't do it, you know, they're paying a pretty penny for that. Now, you know, we could have had a Miz Morrison reunion if John would have hit me up, but instead he was busy getting his head shaved, you know. But it's just amazing because if you look at that show, having a Che Cabrera on it and having a Tito on it, and, you know, I hit up Royce and he was unavailable, you know, and Hammerstone. And, you know, Class and Shogun is going to be there. And, you know, we got Luke Curtis going now. And Bodhi's going to be there. And Shogun, which I might have just said. And San Lu is going to be there. You know, and Live Danger, who are a young tag team, you know, tributes to the Ultimate Warrior, that they're just a fun, exciting tag team, which is interesting because now our new tag team champions, Mariachi Montaña, happened to be in San Diego that day working a lucha show earlier in the day. So now they're going to be the last two additions.
Nice.
So we have Class in Reno, we have Che and Tito, and we have Live Danger there.
Yeah.
I have to believe that that Rumble needs to be set up to where, hey, we might have some potential challengers because we have a show March 29th. And who does Mariachi? They came into my office yesterday. Hey, what's the plan, boss, for the 29th? And I'm like, well, the plan is for you guys to have a match for sure. But it's like, we haven't really set anybody up, which means maybe I'm going to bring somebody in. You know, I want to have a solid match at the HyperX.
Yeah.
You know, I have the Gods of War, Hammerstone and Graves probably available. You know, the Wolf Zaddies, Che and Tito could be available. You know what I mean? Royce and Jarrell could be available. All former, you know, other than Che and Tito, all former champions.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of options, you know. Maybe I should go back. Maybe, you know. So there's a lot of great. We saw that in a while. Saw him post 2.5 years. Nick Xander. And it's crazy because Nick's been around FSW and training and doing stuff and just haven't had the opportunity to, you know, put him in. And yeah, he had messaged me about the mystery spot. And I was kind of having some ideas, you know, maybe Ricky Tenacious gets some aid with Brandon G. You know, we haven't seen since the split, I guess you could say, of Sky High and Mondo got added to the match. That, hey, that might be an interesting comeback for that. And then it was like, you know what? You know, and this was before the Danhausen and the box thing. You know what I mean? Right. And it's like, how many people care? But now you make them care because they may not have been, you know, there's a lot of times there's that mystery invisible man guy. And it's just, in all honesty, because I don't really have somebody when that flyer's made. And it isn't like, oh my God, it's this big shocking surprise. And it was like, hey, you know what? No Escape's got a lot of good things happening. Why not have this cool surprise?
Right. Right. And the video, you know, the video worked. I think, you know, it drew the fans in.
And that's funny because you say that Mikey didn't know until maybe Wednesday or Thursday. That was when I made it official. But I walked into the office and I see Mikey on Google and he's looking at like emergency room videos, something. And I'm like, what the fuck are you looking at? You know what I mean? Like, and then I saw the video and I'm like, oh yeah, he went on there to get, you know,
it's great.
Some clips. And I was like, oh, and he banged that out really quick. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it worked. And, you know, that was Bodie's first cage match in his career. You know, got that confirmed, and he won. It's like, how about that? That's pretty
cool. No, I saw that, and it's like, okay, well, you know, looking at that, it's like, you know, I know Shogun's been involved in it, and then you wonder, Koa, maybe in PCW as one of their champions there's a good chance he was in it.
Yep.
Then you got, I believe it was Ricky Tenacious's first one.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You know, So, and Mondo was in the ill-fated one last year where they, I think they were trying to get their titles back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that was, they didn't. So, yeah. So, you know, Bodie's been in the caches and the cases. He's been in the ladder matches, but he's not been in the cage matches.
Yeah. And you know, you gotta give Ricky so much credit. Man, talk about just knowing exactly what your place is and nailing everything. Like the spots that he had just were so perfectly fit, again, to that character and to what was going on in the match. You talk about getting your stuff in, but knowing how to do it precisely. It just adds that much more depth to what is going on when you have six guys in a cage. That's hard to do, man. And it was just so fun to watch the crowd react to that stuff with, you know, just knowing the precision that goes into that storytelling. It was just fabulous to see that, you know, playing out. It was great.
Yeah, you know, from beginning to end. And, you know, once we got past the second match and it was 6 o'clock, we sped it up. And then it slowed down because until we got to the cage match, we were in good shape. It was probably about 7-ish, had the cage. It was like 6:42, I remember looking, and we're like, all right, so the next three matches only took 42 minutes total. So it's like, okay, we're back on track. Let's start around 7. We might actually be able to be done by 8. But it was closer to 8:15, which is usually the norm because of that 20 minutes in between.
Yeah.
You know, having the setup. A lot of younger students, so things took a little bit more. Yeah, because, you know, I know Rocky's always prided himself on trying to get it in under 15 minutes. He was like, oh, it's pretty quick. I'm like, eh, it was almost 22 minutes by the time we got there, which seems longer than normal because he had really gotten it down pat. But like I said, a lot of the guys like the Mariachis, well, they were in the cage match, so they weren't going to be in there. So guys that had a little more experience working with it, you know, we had a crash course by bringing the cage to the school and setting it up with them Friday. So, but yeah, you know, good work on their end. You know, we're quick to yap at them for the shitty things they do 90% of the times, but the 10%, I'll tell you, they, you know, 10% of the time, you know, they're like clockwork.
No, and the biggest factor is the cage was safe. And I think that when you look at it, that's the biggest thing. Plus, it did give people time to, you know, use the restrooms, get drinks, et cetera, et cetera. And you didn't see the crowd dissipate. So, you know, that's always a great factor. Before the cages went up, you had this one. And, man, talk about fighting all over the place and the New Jack feel to having the faction's music play for the first 15 minutes of the match. I mean, come on. It was crazy. That was one hell of a showing for all guys involved in the faction warfare, essentially. Well done. Just very well done by all the guys.
Yeah, Ice brought that idea to me. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Okay. I'm okay with the New Jack thing.
And Ice got one of the biggest pops on the night. That elbow onto everyone, which you don't really see, you know, we see the body, you know, but man, he full extended that that flying elbow, and damn, that audience popped. Like it was insanity. But it was fun to see the story play out, and you know, where they go from here is great. I think that, you know, there's so much opportunity in that story building with those guys to what happens next that it just was done perfectly.
you know, everything we try to put in an order, you know, trying to switch things up. It was like, how's that going to work? The 5-on-5, you know, we kind of switched the women's championship match, made that second. Initially, that was going to be third. The faction match was going to be second. You know, the first match was easy to make that the first match, the four-way elimination, hot start. You got three baby faces in the match with the one champion. So I thought that would be better than making the gauntlet match first, which was one baby face having to face three heels. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it was like, you want that fast-paced start. So we knew we had to separate the No Limits and the Nevada State because they were both four-man matches, but they were differently done. So at that point now, Heroes match becomes the match before the break, and the other one becomes match one. So now we got one. Now we got five. Now it's like, okay, where do we position 2, 3, and 4? You know what I mean? And then it was like, because normally you like to put the women's match, especially a hard-hitting match. You got Brittany, you got Zamaya. But now you also got that weird dynamic where it's heel versus heel. And we've seen recently with Brittany that they really are getting behind booing her.
Yeah.
But that made it a difficult process because it's easier to cheer Zamaya, but she has MK.
Right.
So the dynamic is really tough, and that match is really tough because there's nobody in that match you really want to root for.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we weren't going to it was time to redo Brittany and Zamaya just because Zamaya's earned that opportunity.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it's always a weird dynamic, a hard match when you go heel versus heel. But you saw that Brittany was the best thing you can do is learn how to elevate that and how to try to out heal that. And I think that you saw her taking those steps. And that's exciting to see. So it's great to see, you know, her get an opportunity to grow. Come on, what do we got? Okay. You know, we had like you said, that four-way, which has given us now Jaden Cole versus Jordan Oasis at Ground Zero. Also, looks like we've seen the setup between AJ and Fox. A lot accomplished in that match. You know.
Basically the four-way elimination is now broken down into two potential singles matches.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what was the game plan, you know, coming out of that. So I guess you could say mission accomplished. You know, Jordan Oasis looked pretty fucked up from the night before the power slap.
Jesus.
You know, I saw a little bit of the clips, but, you know, I heard he got robbed in that one. But,
that's what I heard too. Yeah.
You know, he brought his working shoes on the next day. Who's that guy? Does he wrestle? You know, might have to have the grudge match with Jordan Oasis. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no kidding, right? Shit. Dude. But yeah, you know, two matches coming out of that and Jordan and
As long as those two guys are okay with taking what they're getting at Power Slap and then chopping two zeros off it.
Right.
And then, you know, working for that. Because, you know, the guy who beat Oasis, he got 10K for that.
Yeah, no shit.
You know. So, you know, congratulations to them. I know it's kind of disappointing for Oasis because he was looking, hopefully, maybe with a victory on Saturday. I believe it was Saturday or Friday, whichever it was. But, you know, beating or getting the opportunity to face Jack Swagger Mania week. Yeah. You know, yeah. I heard that might be on the table. And I remember saying to him in the school, I'm like, well, you better not lose, because they're not gonna put the guy in who lost a match at the last show to fight Swagger.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, there's always opportunity if Jordan has that belt at Mecca, why can't he defend that belt against Swagger, Joe? Bring in Swagger.
I heard he retired, but yeah, you know, again, I've always been a fan of Jack Swagger WWE days. Unfortunately, not Jake Hager AEW days.
Yeah.
You know, seem like kind of a waste to me. But now I got to bring in Dutch Mantel, then I got to pay him too, you know, and Swagger ain't going to be working for the brother price, you know what I mean? But yeah, it would be a cool thing.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Ground Zero, too. Now we also have another match that's set up. San Lu defending against Bret the Threat one-on-one. You know, the commissioner made that happen. It's so interesting to see how good Bret is now and to see how good San Lu is now. Man, that one-on-one match, I don't know, man. They could make that special. I think they really could do something with that.
Well, yeah, you know, but it's crazy. It's not even that. It's the fact that Bret the Threat is a leader.
True.
That, yeah. Let me tell you something. There's been a lot of people in the past, you know, we see Colin Muldoon come in and – you know, chip on his shoulder, young kid in high school, probably hanging out with the cool kids, you know, and thinking he's to be there, be all, been there, done that. He's the man. He's going to take it everything over by storm. Cal Jack brought him in, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, in all honesty, he came in with some fanfare and got to wrestle. He, you know, you're considered something special if your first match is against like Sharp. And I believe Collins' match was against Sharp and kind of a little rough around the edges. And there was, you know, there was some talk. And, you know, he kind of got, ooh. And then he kind of, we didn't really utilize him as much because he just wasn't getting the job done. You know, a guy who became successful after a rough start that we saw something in was Demir Morningstar. Here was a guy when he first came in, when he got the opportunities, kind of shit the bed. But, you know, they were young. Demir was another one at 18. Colin at 18 in high school. Yep. And, you know, thinking he's better than everybody or trying to tell me I need to rewatch something because I'm wrong. It was way better than I thought. And it's like, dude, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Shut the fuck up. Right. You know what I mean? And the fact that Bret the Threat has taken Colin under his wing and really turned him around.
Yeah.
You know, Bret's been there early, working out, training with him, you know, feeding him. Because Bret was that terrible twos where you couldn't tell him anything because he came from the MMA world and it's wrestling. Oh, I know everything. You know, I'll stretch him out. Ba, 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 ba. And then he learned by being in the ring with guys like Royce Isaacs at Natural Born Killers, a Dave Mazzani.
Yep.
You know, guys who actually have, you know, a Dave Mazzani who actually had a successful MMA career. You were just an upstart, Bret. You know what I mean? And Royce Isaacs, who's utilized his MMA background to have a hugely successful professional wrestling career.
Yep.
And then Bret went on the road. He moved away, got to work with different people. And Bret has done a tremendous job. It's like the same thing when I said about the Suavecitos. You know, I'm not a guy. I don't blow smoke of anyone's ass to make believe I tell them, oh, you're doing great. No, when you're not doing great, I'm telling you, you're not doing fucking great.
Yeah.
You know, there was times in the past, you know, where I thought Brett was being disrespectful. It's like, bro, you don't like it? Leave, motherfucker. I got 30 other people. I got 50 other people that are so grateful and thankful for the spot.
Yeah.
You delusional fucks think that you are owed something. It's earned here, my friend.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it takes a while. And, you know, you get the guys, and some are on the fence, and some, and again, generally, that's why you see the respect of guys like Graves and Hammerstone and Limelight and Cage and all these guys that when they were just getting in L.A. Knight and Cross, that when they don't have to mention me and they do, they're not doing it for any other reason that they have respect for what I did working with them or helping them or whatever it was. For LA Knight to shout me out in Vegas at a house show, if he had no respect for me, that would no way in the world he would have ever done that. You know, Brian Cage coming in and doing stuff with us and Cross, you know, for all the wrestling fans, if you think Cross wasn't going to get paid top dollar to work the House of Glory show at the Palms, you're out of your mind. Right. But he wants to make his show with us special. And the only shows he's working, Mania Week, the only ones are at FSW.
Right.
There's no more respect than that. It's like, yeah, but I'm going to make my money over there. But Kevin is appreciative of everything that, like, let's make this as big as possible. Let's make this the big deal.
Right.
Because now if I'm working two other shows the other days, the people who hadn't seen me, well, now they don't need to come to the Mecca because they're not going to see, wow, I saw Cross the other day, you know. Right. And now it's like, well, if I want to see Kevin, I got to come to the Mecca. Oh, shit. But the Mecca, we got Jonathan Gresham on the Mecca. You know, we have Hammerstone on the Mecca. I just got Richard Holiday on the Mecca.
Nice.
You know? Right. You know, looking at the list, it's like, you know, we got Danny Limelight. We got Bad Dude Tito. We got Kenny King coming back. We got TJP. We got Bodie. You know, there was a familiar face in the audience. Leo Rush, who's friends with Chris Bay.
Yep.
I haven't announced any matches for Mecca, but the hot rumor that Chris Bay is pushing for is the young prodigy Bodie versus Leo Rush at Mecca.
Which would make a lot of sense, yeah.
So, you know, that's where we got there. Then we got Natural Born Killers, where I can rename now some of the lists. We got Killer Cross. We got TJP. We got Simon Gotch. We got Tito Escondido. We got Dave Mizzani. We got Graves. But now we also have Matt Riddle. And we also have Shayna Baszler.
And you also have Gresham, right?
And Jonathan Gresham.
Yep.
So that alone is nine names. And I just signed a woman that many people had hit me up about in the past, and we made the deal. And there's a good chance she's going to fight Shayna Baszler. Jhenai Kai has been added. So from 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Well, that would be a squash match, and Joe would be going over in probably less than 30 seconds. So. And now, if he meant Samoa Joe, yeah, probably not. But so the cards, these cards are going to be stacked. You got everybody you can. You know, we're still talking with Riddle about being at the Mecca. because he's going to be working the Juggalo show, which is crazy because they're going to be at the Horseshoe, which is literally a mile drive at midnight. Our show's at 10 o'clock, and Riddle's going to be in the main event. So we have plenty of time to put Riddle on our show. It's just doing, making sure we got the matchups, and that's what's most important right now. Once we get the full slate, because there's definitely going to be some FSW talent on the Mecca, like always. You know, I'm pretty sure a G Sharp will be on the show. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, there's talk, if he's back from Japan, that he would work both shows, Jacob Austin Young. Don't know yet the scheduling on that. So, you know, there is definitely some major, major names that we're talking with. You know, one of my favorite American luchas of all time, Gringo Loco, we're talking with.
Oh,
because,
wow.
Because of the timing of the Janela thing starting at 7, and that's why we starting at 10. So yeah. I talked with Gringo Loco, who, I'll be honest, the six-man tag that Gringo Loco, Alec Price, and Cartwheel did against the Unguided and Bodie was one of my favorite matches, as well as Jake, our announcer's favorite match in the FSW arena.
Yeah.
And and Gringo Loco brought it, man. Like, you want to talk about a, you know, not to the GCW crowd, obviously, but in the world of professional wrestling, he is one of the most under the radar guys about how amazingly talented that guy is.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, phenomenal. So, you know, how do you not love a little Gringo Loco, who will be at the Delgado show at 4 p.m. on the Thursday? Yeah. And they're starting. I was a little nervous on them because I knew, you know, the Title Match Network was going to bring all the top women to the show. And, you know, I know the son of the owner of Delgado, and they did the shows at the Nugget. But it's like, you guys better not be the main guys on the show. And then all of a sudden now I see Dr. Wagner. I see Ultimo Dragon. I see Cartwheel. And I see Gringo Loco. So now... let out a sigh of, okay, we didn't want to open the HyperX shows there with a bunch of kids from San Antonio. You know what I mean? It was right. This is Mania Week. You know, we can't be fucking around and having a show that 83 people are going to show up to.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah,
they're starting to stack, and then there's a couple of guys that I don't know who they are because they're big in the lucha world, but I just am not familiar with them.
Yeah, and again, we're looking at the beginning of Full Tilt 4 on Wednesday the 15th. That includes Gabe Sapolsky's seminar, of course, 10 a.m. Again, if you want to get into that, before we get to Full Tilt, you kind of mentioned that this was looking to go on. GCW is returning to the FSW arena on April 3rd. So,
yeah, that was news to me in the terms of I didn't know it was set in stone. Brett hit me up. He's like, oh, you got anything going on April 4th? Probably not. I'm like, you know, we're doing the HyperX the 29th. And it turns out we are going to do something the 4th. It's going to be Future Shock. But he was like, oh, we're going to be in LA the 4th. And you know how many times. And I was trying to pitch FSW GCW 3.
Right.
But he has other plans. So, but we've talked. Hopefully a few FSW guys will be on there. Maybe we can get a match. Maybe we can do an FSW GCW match. I'm going to pitch that to him. But, yeah, so April 3rd, GCW is going to do a little precursor, a little appetizer before the Mania, before their collective. You know, and it's funny because, you know, in the real world of professional wrestling versus the fake world of professional wrestling, of what, you know, people's perception again of everything. And it's like, oh, and you're running against them and blah, blah. It's like, dude, they use our ring at the collective.
Right.
We work with them every time they come out here. They're the bigger fish than us. We are happy to help. Well, when AEW comes calling, when WWE comes calling, when TNA comes calling, we're there. You know, we understand. You know, I'm not believing, hey, you know, we should be this and we should. You know what? I know where we're at. Would I love to be at the level of GCW? Yes and no, because I see what happens when we're doing a couple of shows in a week, and right. I see that this guy's out on the road every day. I'm fucking beat after Sunday at the Silverton running around. Imagine if I had to do that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, get on a plane, and then be back to doing shit on Thursday. It's like, man, I get to sit in my office and chill or lay on my couch, and it's like, I couldn't go on the road for 150 days all over the country. You know, more power to them. You know what I mean? You know, you get your haters who want to bitch and complain. Oh, he don't pay enough. Well, guess what? You know, I see everybody has falling outs with people. I see his current champ was a guy who walked out and motherfucked him, just like numerous have with me. And they went and did other things and they came back and, you know, maybe, you know, respect had to be on both ends. And now Atticus Coger, who wrestled Remy Marcel at FSW GCW, the first one we did, he left and went to other companies and now he's their champion. And, you know, there was beef there and there's a lot of beef. And it's like, well, he's making this. And it's like, yeah, and he's also spending a lot of money. If you're not happy with the pay and you're not happy with what you're getting, you're having the conversation and either it's made accountable or you choose to go somewhere else. But it's like most of these guys had no name value until they became mainstays in GCW.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, it's the same thing with us in FSW. We built our brand. So regardless of who's on certain shows, people are familiar with the product and they know that they're going to get good shit out of the product.
Yeah. Yep.
And we've sold many tickets without announcing a card.
Yeah. Yep.
We never fooled anybody. And it was like, oh, here's the casino show. And all of a sudden it's all the Future Shot guys that are students that are nowhere near ready to be in a casino show. But we made sure we got money from 500 people who would then be pissed off. Right. We do good business. And, you know, with GCW, you know, there's a good, you know, Brittany will probably be on it. Bodine probably will be on it. I've seen him use in Arizona, you know, Hammerstone, and he uses a lot of the local talent. So there's no doubt there could be up to a half a dozen FSW, but he's going to talk with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, it's going to be that situation to where I'm going to recommend certain people, just like to Gabe Sapolsky, who needed extras for Raw and SmackDown and WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And he has his core guys that he's going to use. And then whatever's left over, he goes and asks Joe.
Yeah.
So you better be on Joe's good side.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. You mentioned Sapolsky. The Full Tilt 4 weekend, Mania Week, Thursday, April 16th, has that ID showcase, which we just got some names here and graphics. Cappuccino Jones, Lainey Luck, Sam Holloway, and Aaron Rourke. And it's Gull.
And there's also another one that's going to be there who just got ID'd. PCW right here. There you go. Jimmy House, our guy. You know, we've been trying to get him back. Talented dude, trains with Dustin Rhodes. Really been making waves. And again, he's got everything they like. Big social media following. Does other things besides wrestling. Has really got himself on the radar of the promotions. And, you know, Jimmy House will be at the ID Showcase on the Thursday. And we're already discussing a possibility for Jimmy House to be on the Mecca Friday.
Right. That, and, you know, talk about a talented guy who's, you know, just quickly, you know, he's going through it pretty quickly. And it's nice to see. And it's also nice to see, quite honestly, again, you know, a lot of fans like to put that animosity between, you know, AEW, WWE, wanting this fake war. When you have a guy like Dustin who trains guys, you know, the idea is that these guys get opportunities, whether it be with one company or another company or, you know, totally somewhere different. So it's nice to see, you know, Dustin being able to congratulate and recognize him for getting this opportunity. And, you know, they're not to be that, you know, well, we can't say anything because he's with the other company, that type of crap. It's just so much fun to see these guys getting these opportunities. And, you know, most of these guys who are passing through here, it's just incredible.
I didn't even want to take the picture. You know, we had Zoe there. We had Mia Yim there. Okay, they're WWE people. And in the same roll around was Brian Cage and Darius from Top Flight. And you had Chris Bay, you know, in there, and Brittany. And I wasn't going to post anything. I don't know. They might get in trouble. And then I see Mia Yim posting rolling around with Brian Cage. And there you go. You got WWE versus AEW.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's friendly with everybody. Yeah, there's the, hey, we want to do better than you. But I also have, you know, Aria Davari goes in there and trains. And there's new Rob Van Dam was in there with Katie Forbes 2 weeks ago. Dominic Mysterio was in there. Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeff Cobb. And it's like all these people, you know, we're very fortunate that they're coming through. And it's like, you know, it's great for the kids and they get to see it. And it's like, calm down. You know, I know you want to mark out. I saw somebody post and it was kind of funny. I was going to comment, but I'm like, yeah, why bother? And it was like, oh, you know, all the guys who don't come to train and, you know, all the guys who don't have money for dues, you know, because AEW was going to be up in NorCal and it was a NorCal guy. Oh, they're all going to be there in the crowd sitting watching like marks. It's like, okay, well, most of these guys are wrestling fans. And if they can't be on the AEW show, they're going to go watch it because we're all wrestling fans.
All right. How many guys were at WrestleMania this past Mania, you know, and probably paid more for Mania than, you know, and owe you how much in
due? But they couldn't pay me my monthly due, you know, or how many fans are crying poverty and they're talking about spending $900 on tickets. Oh, bro, I'm really tight. You just bought Mania tickets for $900, but paying $40 for my show is what's going to break you. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Speaking of ticket prices, congratulations on getting your Metallica tickets, man. $165 each. Are you serious?
Yeah, it was the regular thing. Bittersweet though. It's like, so the first day I got on, I was like 3:05 in the queue. And I got in within about 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, boom, I'm right there. And I was trying to scroll a little, but I'm like, yeah, let me hit the tickets. So maybe I hesitated. Maybe I did. So by the time I hit it, it was like, oh, these tickets are no longer available. Boom, they were gone. Like, what the fuck? And then they had different. So now I'm in another queue and it's 212,000 410,000. I'm like, what the fuck? So I end up missing the queue after they added six dates. And then I got home because it was like 5:15. So by the time I was in the queue, it was too late. And then they immediately added four more dates. So when I clicked it, it basically took me right in. So I saw two tickets available. And I didn't scroll to see if there were any better tickets, if there was groups of four. Because I'll be honest, I was going to buy four and then sell two and basically get in for free. You know, and believe me, if I could have bought 10, I would have. So I just saw the two tickets. It said, you know, section four something, which I know is going to be the upper level. I don't know. So I click it. And then, you know, I have the Ticketmaster information. And then it lead me to something. And then it's like, oh, you have to hit the, then they had to get a verification. I'm like, all right, I'm going to lose these fucking tickets. So then I got them. And then all of a sudden it said like $130 each. And I'm like, what? And then when I clicked it after the fees, it was $330 total. Purchase now. And I'm like, boom. And it was like, you got Metallica tickets. I'm like, wow, $165 each. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Because I already see those same seats are going for like $540. Yeah. Now, are they going for $540 or are they being offered for $540? You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's like, you know what? It's the Sphere. It's going to sound great. Ugh. Generally, I go to the section fours in most cases because of the ticket pricing. You know, there's some that the prices were great, and I got Billy Idol on the floor seats.
Sure.
And the difference was like 20, 30 bucks. I'm like, yeah, who cares? But I'm not going to pay $100 to sit there and then spend $390 to sit there to listen to the music that's going to sound exactly the same. So, yeah, you know, I've seen Metallica twice in my life. Once they opened for Ozzy Osbourne at like the Meadowlands and they were great. And then the one time when I thought I was going to lose my hearing forever, they played at the Felt Forum headlining with Metal Church. And the Felt Forum is in Madison Square Garden, but it's a separate venue that seats probably 1500 to 2000. And it was one of the loudest concerts next to the Twisted Sister concert that I had gone to. With Queensryche that nobody had ever heard of when they opened for them.
Nice.
So, but anything I've seen, like Metallica with the orchestra, phenomenal. Yeah. Like, it's mind-boggling how great they sound. And then, I don't know what it was, but I knew they had the thing. My only concern is, I don't like the no-repeat day.
Yeah.
Because, so, if Saturday they're going to do Enter Sandman and you know, Seek and Destroy, that means I'm not going to hear it on Thursday.
Right.
And I get it, you know, and, you know, the wife's coming and she's going to know 10, 15 Metallica songs. I'm going to know 50. You know, I know the smaller, deeper cuts, shit like that. But, man, I'm going to go to a Metallica show and not hear Enter Sandman. I have a 50-50 shot of not hearing that song. And I would much rather hear it, the stuff I like and their better stuff all in one day. And it's like, yeah, they act like it's a benefit. No, it's making people want to go to two shows, which is fine. I would go to two shows, but I can't get tickets to them.
Oh, they know exactly what they're fucking doing. Yeah, and that, but you know, that also, like you already said, they are already extended dates. It's going to be a thing where they're going to probably end up extending, you know.
Right, but they even stated that these 24 are good for now. Now they're going to step back, reevaluate. But now the thing is, okay, well, I went on a Thursday. Okay, so next time when they redo it again on a Saturday, I'm going to go on the Saturday instead of the Thursday. Well, there's no saying that 13 weeks later that Enter Sandman's now not going to be the Saturday show.
Or you get exactly the same album.
Right, they just switched it.
Yeah.
And now I'm watching, which is still going to be great, but really it's not as great because now I wouldn't get to hear, you know, all the great Metallica songs that I didn't get a chance to hear. So, but I'll take it.
Well, that means that everyone needs to buy a Future Stars of Wrestling Hyper X Arena shirt.
There you go. Greatest tag team in wrestling.
There we go. Those are available right now through Joe for $25, will be available at the show for $30. And if they need to be shipped, they're also $30. So check those out. And again, Ground Zero is on Sunday, March 29th. It looks like someone didn't know we were going live, and like Duke said, it was on Joe's page. So
I ended up doing it right at the time. So hey, I'm just in my Facebook messages, and a good old friend of mine, who's now the commissioner of NXT, Robbie E, just messaged me.
Oh, nice.
Hey, Joe, you got time for a quick phone call this week? I said, yeah, for sure. You need to book me for Mania? But he wrote back, ha ha. So I'm guessing that's, I'm guessing that's a no.
Well, yeah, they might, NXT might need to use the arena for something, which would be interesting.
I don't know. Maybe he's looking to get on the Mecca, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe him and Jack Manley, we can finally get that match that was supposed to happen in Mesquite. You know, we set out like in search of Jack Manley, and he gets to wrestle Robbie E.
There you go. Oh, man. All right. Final thoughts before we wrap up.
Hey, you know, No Escape, you know, exceeded expectations, many people. And again, it's funny. Oh, that was one of the best shows I've ever seen. I'm like, okay, it was really good. I get, you know, but I hope it wasn't the best show ever. You know, I thought there was some things lacking. But overall, yes. I would give it, you know, since everything's about letter grades these days, I would give it a solid B+.
Yeah. It's fair.
You know, and we got a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, so in 2 weeks, we got two matches set. Nevada State Championship, San Lu versus Bret the Threat. We got the No Limits one-on-one, the Spotlight, the Rookie of the Year. Even without announcing, you know, awards, he is the Rookie of the Year, without a doubt, Jaden Cole. You know, he's had a meteoric rise. And he goes one-on-one with Jordan Oasis. FSW Heavyweight Champion G Sharp will be there. The Tag Team Champions, Mariachis, will be there. The Women's Champion, Brittany Brooks, will be there. So all the champions in there. You know, Duke Lawrence, he might be, you know, he might be there. We'll see. You know, he might be in the gaming portion of the show. I don't know. After that defeat. You know, I know the MK Army has a big meeting coming up, so we're going to see if there's a fallout coming from that. So, you know, all the big guns are going to be there. You know, hope we might be adding guys like TJP, and we're trying to figure it out. We want to have a super show as usual, because bottom line is March 8th was No Escape, casino show, great numbers. Great show. March 29th's job is to be better.
Yeah.
To make people say, you know what? We're going to take our dispensary money, and we're going to spend it again on another big time FSW show, because it's so good that we can't miss it. Yeah. And then, you know, they got to bring a little extra for food at the HyperX. You know, we got the FSW cup. So, you know, maybe if you're a beer drinker, Dave Mazzani and the firefighters are going to be there in full force.
Nice.
I can announce another match, 6-man tag, based off of what happened at Future Shock. The First Responders and Remy Marcel will be taking on the Asylum. Nice. So there you go. That's going to be a nice undercard match that will be part of the main card. You know, the Jester should be selling some good tickets.
Yeah. Duke's not looking forward to that MK meeting either.
Yeah, you know, You know, oh, MK was a little upset. He had to cancel his bidding on 642 new Kiss, Paul Stanley, and Gene Simmons items that he had to miss that opportunity to bid on it because he had to get the core group in order.
Yeah, exactly. If only Duke would have walked away with the championship, MK would have had that much more money to.
You know, the match did kind of turn around a little bit when that top rope broke that Duke snapped. So
yeah,
oh, yeah, and I have to say, and MK, I had to send him the bill for the broken turnbuckle.
Right.
You know, so that was another $80 I had to charge MK.
So. Oh man! Well, everyone, again, thank you for tuning in this week. Lots going on, so keep your eye on social media. To keep up with the latest. And until next time, happy wrestling, everybody.